It's Sunday, 29th of March, day 8 of this quarantine diary. There's a terrible academic joke that you hear in every university. It goes like this. Question: why are academic disputes so acrimonious? Answer: because the stakes are so low. The point of the joke, I suppose, is to emphasise that professors argue about issues which are of no interest to any normal person. And so in that sense, they're just contemporary manifestations of those fabled medieval disputes about the number of angels who could dance on the head of a pin. That's to say, arguments about stuff that doesn't really matter, where the stakes are really low. As it happens, though, we now find ourselves in the middle of an academic dispute where the stakes could not be higher. The question at issue is how best to combat the coronavirus, and thousands of lives may depend on getting the right answer. The contestants in this battle of ideas are teams of researchers from two of Britain's best universities, Imperial College London and Oxford. Both have constructed mathematical models of the pandemic, which, they hope, enables them to understand the dynamics of its contagion. It also enables them to simulate the likely impact of various policies to manage the outbreak. A few weeks ago, after the Johnson administration had its, oh shit, this could be really serious, moment, you will recall that the Prime Minister started to give daily press conferences, flanked by two eminent scientific knights, who embodied the scientific advice that he was determined assiduously to follow. This blogger, and thousands of observers elsewhere, watched incredulously as these eminences laid out a strategy based on the concept of herd immunity. The idea was that about 60% of the population would need to get the virus first, after which this supposed immunity would kick in. A quick session with a calculator confirmed the hunch that this idea looked bonkers. Just think about the numbers. The UK currently has nearly 70 million inhabitants. 60% of 70 million is 42 million, and most of whom, it was assumed, would only get a mild dose, then recover, and thereby acquire herd immunity. But if the mortality rate of the virus were at 1%, which was one of the guesses at the time, then that meant that the UK government policy was assuming that 420,000 people might die. At which point, even those of us who know nothing about epidemiology, but can do simple arithmetic, we began to wonder what these eminent scientific knights had been smoking. Clearly, the modellers at Imperial wondered the same thing, and they spent a frantic weekend running simulations to determine what a less crazy strategy would be. And they concluded that containment would be not only the best bet, but the only sensible thing to do. Their conclusion seemed to convince Johnson and his advisers, and so over a weekend the government pivoted on a sixpence to a new policy, containment and lockdown, in order to prevent our beloved NHS with its 8,000 ventilators to be overcome. Which is how we came to be where we are now, and why I'm composing this from deepest quarantine. At this point, Oxford University enters the fray. According to a report in last Tuesday's Financial Times, the Oxford model suggested that the virus may already have infected far more people in the UK than anyone had previously estimated, perhaps as much as half the population. If those results were confirmed, the FT report continued, they would imply that fewer in 1 in 1,000 of those infected with COVID-19 became ill enough to need hospital treatment. The vast majority would develop very mild symptoms, or none at all. The research, observed the FT, presented a very different view of the epidemic to the Imperial College modelling, which had had such a dramatic influence on government policy. I'm surprised that there has been such unqualified acceptance of the Imperial model, said Professor Sunetra Gupta, Professor of Theoretical Epidemiology at Oxford, and the person who led the study. Now, experts in the semiotics of academic warfare will be able to decode that genteel observation. The professor is surprised. It's a bit like when lawyers say, with the greatest possible respect. Of course, I have no idea which set of modelers is right. Perhaps neither are. But the interesting thing about the Oxford hypothesis is that it is testable in a way that would have appealed to Karl Popper. If people have acquired immunity through having had a mild dose of the disease, then they will have antibodies in their blood. There are, I think, recognized tests for detecting these antibodies. So all that is needed is for a research team, it could be from YouGov, to administer this test to a random sample of the UK population. The results would tell us not only if the Oxford conjecture is accurate, but also what proportion of the population has immunity. And when we know that, maybe we'll be getting somewhere. Oh, and by the way, if you heard the sound of someone clapping, it'll be the ghost of Karl Popper.